Welcome back to the Front Page. We're joined by Reds broadcaster Jim Kelch, and I'm Chuck Morales. We'll be talking about the 2016 Reds. And, Jim, first of all, welcome to Front Page.
Well, thank you. I think I've been on a couple of other years, and it's always good to talk Reds baseball and Reds country.
Well, I know that a lot of Reds fans that I've talked to are not as optimistic as I've seen them in recent years about this year's club. Is that the way they should feel, or are there some lights down at the end of the tunnel that aren't trains coming the other way?
Well, there are lights, Chuck, and it's just probably, and I say probably, underlined, simply because we don't ever know. That's why we go out and play the game. Certainly, stranger things have occurred, but with the youth of this pitching staff and the instability of a couple of the positions on the field, you really don't know what you're going to get this year, unlike in 2010, in 2012, and 2013, where you pretty much knew what you had. You had that great core of starting pitchers, you had that great core of everyday players, and you'd filled in with some free agents, and you figured that you were going to compete for the National League Central Division title and maybe go a little bit further. They did win those two titles in that span and made a wild card appearance the other time. But this year, you know, there's so many question marks. 110 starts by rookies last year, 64 in a row at the end. Those guys are all going to be older this year. But the question is, will they be better? And even though two of them were very good last year, you need more of them to step up. We can't just rely on the fact that Raisel Iglesias is going to have hopefully a better year this year, and Anthony DeSclafani is going to step up and have an even better year than he did last year. You know, you need two or three more to come through, and certainly then you're waiting on Homer Bailey as well. And then left field is a big hole. So, this team has said all along, 16 is a transition year. We're hoping 17 and by the very end, 18 to be very competitive again in the NL Central.
Still, even though it is a transition year, Jim, you mentioned this team has a number of key veterans coming back. You've got Joey Votto, Jay Bruce, Brandon Phillips, Devin Mesoraco. Hopefully his hip is much better. He doesn't have that impingement anymore. So you've got some guys who have proven major league track records on this ball club, not to mention, say, Zach Cozart, too.
Yeah, you really do. You have guys that are coming back, Chuck, from injury, and you mentioned a good core of them. Devin Mesoraco missed basically all of last year with that hip impingement, and he had a tremendous 2014, so you'd like to think that he's going to be able to bounce back and have a very good offensive year and be able to catch five times a week out of 7 days. If he can't, then you're going to have a problem with Mesoraco because you don't really have a spot to put him. He has talked about the possibility of playing left field if he cannot catch, but really what you've heard from Mesoraco more than anything else is that he really feels he's going to be able to get back there behind the plate, catch, and be able to do a good job back there. Zach Cozart missed half the season with the knee injury, and he is coming along from everything we hear and see just really, really well. He was on the caravan on the Nashville stop, and supposedly everything is going great. So you're going to get an all-star caliber defensive player back at short. The question with him will be, will he be able to hold his own offensively as he did the first part of last year, when he then hurt the knee and Eugenio Suarez came in and replaced him and did a much better job offensively, but not nearly the job he did defensively. Then you're going to get Billy Hamilton back, who missed the last couple of weeks due to that right shoulder injury. And, you know, there's a huge, huge question mark over Billy Hamilton as to whether he is going to finally fulfill the potential that people have thought he had in terms of being the leadoff man for the Reds, getting on base, setting the table for the likes of what now will be Bruce and Votto and Phillips, et cetera.
Yeah, when you talk about Billy Hamilton, he's a guy that reminds me a great deal in many ways of Vince Coleman. He has that type of potential, but as you know, you can't steal first base. He just has not been able to find a way to just pound that ball into the ground, because if he can do so, he can probably hit at least 250, 260, and if he's on base a bunch, he can create a lot of runs.
Yeah, it's amazing that 2 years in a row, he has finished second in the National League in stolen bases. In fact, had he not missed the last, 2-3 weeks of the season last year, would have won the National League stolen base crown with an on-base percentage of under 300, really with an on-base percentage in the 270s. So just think what he could do, not so much in terms of stealing bases, but as you said, being able to get on base, wreaking havoc, scoring runs for the guys that are behind him. And that's just something that really needs to develop in him. And I think that they've been very patient with Billy Hamilton, and it's not just me, but I believe out there now, is the understanding that they may not be as patient with him this year. He's had a lot of time to work on it, and if he can't get it done, I could see them this year sending him potentially down to Louisville to work on some things if he gets out of the gate very slowly in the month of April. I don't know that it would be in April, but if he gets a full month under his belt this year and things are going basically the same as they had been going in the past, that they may decide to make a temporary change in center field. They do have a veteran outfielder that can play out there, and Tyler Holt, who admittedly is not a speed burner as much as Billy Hamilton, but he would be a guy that they could potentially put out there and play should Billy Hamilton need to go down and get some work in Louisville.
With Todd Frazier, an all-star, traded to the White Sox, is Suarez the guy then at third base?
Well, I think Suarez going into camp is going to be the guy at third base. They did acquire a young man, Eric Jagielo, in the Chapman trade from the Yankees, but he's only 23 years old. I don't see him being a guy that would probably be in competition for that job this year. So you're probably looking, certainly going into spring, at Suarez. But you never know who might pop up in terms of a minor league player or a free agent, a six-year minor league free agent that they may sign who is really, really under the radar, who might step up and do a great job. But, yeah, certainly going into camp, it's going to be Suarez who's going to be given the chance to play third base.
Reds have an interesting situation, actually, at second base, too. As you well know, all-star and perennial all-star Brandon Phillips has been there for a number of years. The Reds tried to trade him twice, I guess, during the offseason, most notably to the Nationals. That was most recently, too, as well. And as a 5-10-year guy, a veteran, he rejected both trades. He wanted, I guess, some extra money to go ahead and leave Cincinnati. He's decided to stay. The Reds would like to play Jose Peraza, a 21-year-old who they picked up, a highly touted prospect from the Dodgers. So, I mean, it's kind of a logjam right there. What do they do?
Well, I think, as Brian Price has said, as long as he is healthy and continuing to do the job that he has done last year, that Brandon Phillips will be the guy. I think it's going to be a little awkward in the spring because how can it not be, Chuck? I mean, here's a guy who, as you said, is a 10-5 guy. He's earned the right to reject the trades if they don't fit what he would like, and that's exactly what he did, not once but twice. And yet it would seem, not just on the periphery, but even if you dig down a little bit deeper, that the trades would have been good on both sides. Certainly they would have been good on the Red side because it would have completed this youth movement that they're trying to get into and thus also free themselves up of cash, of which Phillips will take roughly $12 or $13 million this year. But on the other side of things, it's hard to understand why a veteran player who is clearly in the last stages of his career, not to say that he won't do a good job this year, but clearly in the final stages of his big league career and has not won a championship and has been given an opportunity, not once but twice, to go to a team that may very well be a winner, why a player like that wouldn't want to do that, knowing the situation that his current team is in and the direction that they are headed. So it's a little hard to understand, and maybe we'll get a more clear understanding of it once everybody reports out to Arizona.
Let's talk a little bit about left field, and that's wide open, as you mentioned. You've got Scott Schebler, who came over from the Dodgers, of course, Ivan DeJesus Jr., who saw some time out there and did a pretty decent job. Then, of course, you've got Adam Duvall as well as a possible option. What do you see the Reds doing there, Jim?
Well, certainly all the guys that you mentioned and a few more will be given an opportunity to earn that spot out there. Brian Price has kind of alluded to the fact that he wouldn't be opposed to a system of a number of different players out there. One name that you did not mention is Yorman Rodriguez, who is a guy that the Reds signed years ago as a 16-year-old who's had some big league time, although he missed the last half of last year with a calf injury, who is out of options. So if the Reds, and he will be in spring training, and he is a 40-man roster guy, if they do not keep him on the roster come opening day, they cannot option him down any longer because he's out of options, meaning they would have to expose him to be claimed by other teams. So depending on the kind of spring he has and what their true belief is in Yorman, they may or may not either A, keep him on the big league club even though they don't quite think he's ready, or B, decide, you know what, we've worked with him long enough, we're going to expose him to the other teams, and if somebody claims him, then somebody claims him. You mentioned Scott Schebler, a fellow that came over from the Dodgers and had a decent track record in the minor leagues that'll probably be given a chance. Adam Duvall, who didn't hit for average, struck out a little bit too much, but did hit for some power when he came over from the Giants last year, is certainly a name that'll be given a shot out there. And then a Rule 5 player that the Reds picked up during the winter meetings, Jake Cave, is probably going to be given an opportunity. He came over from the Angels. He was on their AAA roster, I believe, or he might have been actually a Yankees player. But he's a fellow that was picked by the Reds in the Rule 5 draft, meaning that he has to make the club and stay with the team all year or be offered back to the Yankees at half the price at which the Reds claimed him, which would be $25,000. So he can't really go to the minor league system. He either has to make the big league club or they'll have to send him back to where they picked him up. So, yeah, it's going to be a revolving door certainly in the spring and to see who could possibly earn that job out there.
Jim, I know all the pieces will have to fit together for things to break right for the Reds to have a really good year, but in terms of being competitive, is there a certain key in your mind?
Well, I think it all comes down to a day-in, day-out pitching, Chuck. You know, and the bullpen has been weak, too. Let's not act like the bullpen was this great, solid piece of the puzzle that worked out and everything else didn't. It was very much up and down and will be even more so this year with the loss of Aroldis Chapman on the back end, although I think that was a very good move for them. J.J. Hoover, who recently won his arbitration case against the Reds, has made it known that he wants to be the closer on this team. They have a lot of youth that they're going to try probably to fill in with that that bullpen area. They really didn't go out and sign any free agents to be really in terms of pitchers that would come to this ball club. You know, they designated some people for assignment and then brought them back that will be here this year. The club last year that'll be here in camp and minor league deals. So I think they're going to really try to see what they have within the system in terms of the bullpen. And then really in the starting rotation, you know, we talked about all those young guys who started last year. Many of those same names are going to be out there again this year with an opportunity to make this ball club in the rotation at the start of the season. And I think the one name that really jumps out at you is Cody Reed, one of the three left-handers that came over from the Royals in the Johnny Cueto deal. He's not a 40-man roster player, but he's a young man at 22 that has an incredible high ceiling. And so I think they're really, really looking for some big things from him. I think they would love to see Robert Stevenson finally have a breakout year this year and make his way onto the big league club. And then Brandon Finnegan, a highly touted prospect that also came over from the Royals, decide whether he is a starter for them or he is a relief pitcher for them and get him into that niche.
Well, Jim, thanks as always. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem, Chuck.
Again, that's Reds broadcaster Jim Kelch. I'm Chuck Mraz. This is The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio.